So, Mike? Dan Murray asked, 8 time zones away. Director, it looks like we're chasing a spook. The subject's name is Klementy Ivanich Suvorov, currently living as Ivan Yurievich Konev, and we spotted him making probable contact with a Chinese diplomat. And what the hell does all this mean? FBI Director Murray wondered. You got me there. You must be pretty tight with this Provalov guy. He's a good cop, and yes, sir, we get along just fine. That was more than Cliff Rutledge could say about his relationship with Shen Tang. Your president's remarks on our domestic policy is a violation of Chinese sovereignty, the Chinese foreign minister said, almost in a shout, for the 7th time since lunch. Minister, Cliff Rutledge replied, none of this would have happened but for your policeman shooting an accredited diplomat, and that is not, strictly speaking, an entirely civilized act. Our internal affairs are our internal affairs. That is so, Minister. But America has her own beliefs. And if you ask us to honor yours, then we may request that you show some respect for ours. 45 minutes later, it broke up, with the usual handshakes, as cordial as the meeting had been contentious, which rather amazed Mark Gant. It's all business, not personal, Rutledge explained. I'm surprised they're dwelling on this so much. It's not as though we've actually accused them of anything. Hell, even the president just asked for an investigation. Why are they so touchy? Maybe they're worried they won't get what they want out of the talks, Gant speculated. But why are they that worried? If their cash reserves are that low, they could be in a tight crack, Cliff, tighter than we appreciate. It's not going well, my friend, Zhang told Fang. President Ryan, why does he hate us so? Zhang, twice you have plotted against the Russians, and twice you've played your intrigue against America. Is it not possible that the Americans know of this? Has it not occurred to you that this is why they recognize the Taiwan regime? Zhang Hansan shook his head. This is not possible. Nothing was ever written down. When things are said around people with ears, Zhang, they remember them. There are few secrets in the world. Then what would you have us do? The American has requested an investigation, so we give him one. If a policeman must die, there are many others to take his place. Our trading relationship with America is more important than this trivial matter, Zhang. We cannot afford to abase ourselves before the barbarian. We cannot afford not to. Fang checked his watch and took his leave. With luck, he'd be home at a decent hour, after he transcribed his notes through Ming. Ah, Yefremov observed. He was in the building perch instead of one of the vehicles. There was Suvorov Konev, sitting on the bench, an afternoon newspaper in his hands. Call Provalov, Yefremov told his subordinate. He owed it to the militia lieutenant who'd presented him with the case. They continued to watch Suvorov Konev. Finally, he stood and walked back to his car. One of Yefremov's people retrieved the case from the bench. It was the locked one again. The case was opened and the contents photographed, reinserted, and finally relocked in the container, which was immediately driven back to the bench. Back at FSS headquarters, the decryption team typed the message into a computer. The clear text message was, agreeably, in Russian. The content of the message was something else. One of the supervising inspectors walked to the phone and dialed Yefremov's number. Pavel Gorgievich, you need to see this. Provalov was there when the chief of the decryption section walked in. The printout was in a manila folder, which the head crippy handed over without a word. Well, Pasha? The homicide investigator asked. Well, we have answered our first question. The motor car was even purchased at the same dealership in central Moscow, the sheet read. There is no fault to be found here. The men who performed the mission are both dead in St. P. Before I can make another attempt, I need an indication from you on the timeline, and also on the payment to my contractors. Golovko was the target then, Provalov observed. And the head of our country's intelligence service owes his life to a pimp. So it would appear. He doesn't ask payment for himself. I would imagine he's somewhat embarrassed at having missed his target. But he's working for the Chinese. So that would appear as well, the FSS man observed. Why, he asked himself, would the Chinese wish to do such a thing? Isn't that nearly an act of war? For Barry Wise, the day had long since begun. One of the people he'd seen shot the other day had said he was married and that his wife was on Taiwan. Maybe she'd be back now. It was worth trying out. The Vatican story would be handled by the Rome Bureau, and the trade talks were not where it was happening. Not today. Breakfast was served at the embassy. Cliff's staff were all there. They already knew what was going to happen at the trade talks. A whole lot of nothing. Rutledge agreed. He was wrong, too. Rutledge took a final sip of the welcoming tea and settled back in his chair, motioning for Shen to begin the morning's talks. "We find it difficult to understand America's position in this and other matters." Uh-oh. "America has chosen to affront our sovereignty in many ways. First, the Taiwan issue." Rutledge listened to the earphone, which gave him the simultaneous translation. So, Shen hadn't been able to persuade the Politburo to take a reasonable tack. That meant another unproductive day at these talks. The tirade lasted 27 minutes. "Minister," Rutledge began. He went on along his own well-grooved path, varying only slightly when he said, "We put you on notice that unless the PRC allows its markets to be open to American trade goods, the government of the United States will enact the provisions of the Trade Reform Act." Rutledge saw Shen's face coloring up some. Why? Rutledge had said this 50 times in the previous few days. Okay, fine, he'd never said "put on notice," which was Diplo-speak for "no shit, Charlie, we're not fucking kidding anymore." But the import of his earlier statements had been straightforward enough, and Shen was no fool. Was he? Or had Cliff Rutledge misread this whole session?